Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte. Episode 57 for June 17th, 2008. Three Blonde Night. Net at Night is brought to you by Audible. For your free audiobook and a whole lot more, visit audible.com/night, N-I-G-H-T. And by listeners like you. Thanks for your donations.
It's time for Net at Night from beautiful Petaluma, California. I'm Leo Laporte.
And I'm Amber MacArthur from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
And is it patio weather, Amber?
You know what, Leo? It's a little cold here. So unfortunately not patio weather, but I think that we're going to have a hot spell soon. It's been a very warm month.
It's patio weather here. And you know who's with me right now?
I'm jealous. Yes, I know.
Our good friend Denise Howell, who's the host of This Week in Law. She actually came by the beautiful TWiT Live studios to say hello. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Leo. And hi, Amber. Thanks for letting me crash your show.
No problem. I keep going into the chat room and people say we look like sisters. So I've never had a sister, so it's charming.
You could be sisters.
Sisters in tech.
You're both gorgeous, that's for sure. I shouldn't be saying that. That's very sexist of me. I apologize.
You're gorgeous too, Leo.
Now it's all fine. Now it's all okay.
Now.
Yeah.
No problems now.
So Denise has been on almost, well, let's see, you've been on TWiT. You've been on Jumping Monkeys.
Yes.
And now you've been on Net at Night.
I'm doing the round of the show. So.
All that remains is the Daily Gizwiz, and you'll be on every show. Denise is also a blogger. She does her Bag and Baggage. You've been doing for how long? A long time.
November 2001.
That's a long time. I've been blogging a little longer than you. I started in February 2001. Mm-hmm. But I don't call myself a blogger because my blog is not a blog. I just post whenever I think of it. And you're also a ZDNet blogger with Blogarithms.
Yes, Logarithms.
Logarithms.
Yes.
I keep wanting to call it Blogarithms.
Well, it's confusing because Doug Kay keeps a blog called Blogarithms.
That's right.
Yes.
That's confusing.
So, Denise, have you looked into anything about the recent DMCA, the copyright potential law in Canada? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, we were just talking about that before the show. And no, I haven't looked at it in any great detail, but Leo and I were looking at Michael Geist's rundown
of it.
And how it's more severe in some ways than the U.S. DMCA, which is not a good thing.
Are people arms in Canada over it, Amber?
Oh, they really are. I mean, there's a lot happening online as far as people joining Facebook groups, one of which is run by Michael Geist. So there are people who are totally upset about it, and they feel as though the government is really trying to infringe on their rights to be able to copy materials that they've, in fact, bought themselves. And there's some things in the law that are the potential law that seem a little bit extreme. So hopefully it doesn't go through. And for anyone who wants to read more about it, I have to say that michaelgeist.ca is the best place to go. He is a University of Ottawa professor, and he is a great writer, and he really simplifies the whole issue.
He came on Call for Help with us. I think you were there when he came on.
I sure was.
Yeah, he's really smart. I just really like him a lot.
Well, how can he duplicate what you all managed to accomplish last year, which was to get this thing shelved?
Well, he was one of the people at the forefront who really got it shelved in the first place and got our Minister of Industry to say that, in fact, they weren't going to go forward with it. So at that point, I think he had about 20 or 30,000 people go onto Facebook and join a group on Facebook and really protest this potential law. And now he started it up again, and there's a lot more people who are becoming a lot more aware about this issue. And I even find mainstream media is covering it a little bit more.
Good.
So I think that's the good news. And there are tons of people up in arms. And it's not just this issue of copyright, but it's also the issue of net neutrality in the sense that I feel as though some of these issues are coming more to light in Canada based on what bloggers are saying and as far as online information as well as news media covering these issues.
Hey, look who's here. It looks like it's Denise's son is sneaking in the door. We got a 4-year-old with us. So if you hear some funny noises, that's what's going on.
Oh, that's great.
It's either that or Michael Geist has finally gone. The DMCA is driving him crazy.
Army of 20,000.
Exactly. There's a lot of guests on today, Leo.
Well, we got a crowd today coming up in just a bit. Brian Ibbett, who this is your fault because we were talking about covers last week.
I know. I was asking you, I said, Leo, I'm looking for some good covers, and you mentioned Coverville.com, which we've spoken about before, but I totally forgot about it. And then Brian got in touch with us and invited us to a party, I think, at the New Media Expo in Las Vegas in August, and he's coming on the show today.
10 minutes.
That's great. We'll be talking about covers. Who doesn't
That'll
love covers? You were saying how much you love them.
I love covers. Sometimes I feel as though the covers are better than the original song. So I think it's always a lot of fun to see bands or musicians cover different artists. And it's nice to know there's someone out there who is really tapped into this world and staying on top of it. And that would be Brian.
And then we're also going to talk to Francisco Tomalski, or Tomalski. Yeah, Tomalski. He is with a company called 280 North. And they do something that I actually made my pick of the week this week on Mac Break Weekly, because I was just so blown away with it. And it's actually very timely and very topical, the idea of doing a web-based application. In this case, it's basically PowerPoint on the web. And if you've not seen it, you've got to go see it. It's just amazing what they're able to do with a little bit of Ajax. And the reason it's kind of timely is because Apple made a big announcement at WWDC that wasn't heavily covered because it was the last day of the WWDC, but they announced that they're going to use an open source project called Sprout Core to create rich web applications. It's basically bringing the Cocoa programming capabilities that are built into the Macintosh to the web. It'll allow, frankly, developers who are used to developing for the Macintosh to develop not only for the Macintosh, but for Windows, for Safari, for the iPhone. Some people are calling it a flash killer. We're going to talk more about it on Mac Break Weekly on Wednesday. But it's very clear that we're about to see an explosion, and it's really right up our alley, Amber, of web-based applications. You know, we're seeing so many. I mean, Gmail's a web-based application. Hotmail is, Yahoo Mail. But also now spreadsheets, things like Zoho. I think you were the first to show me Zoho.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
And this 280 North, which is just amazing. I mean, it allows you to do Keynote on the web.
That's awesome. I'm a big Keynote fan, and I do a ton of presentations, so I'm excited to dive into this.
Yeah, and you can share them. You can share them on the web. It's called 280slides.com if you want to take a look at it before we talk to Francisco, but he's coming up in just a little bit.
Yeah, that makes Very a ton cool. of sense. I always wind up uploading my slides to the web anyway once I'm done
right.
with them. So
yeah, exactly. People want to see them, and this is just like using Keynote or PowerPoint. Here it is. I'm showing Denise on the website. Did you get a chance to take a look at it at all?
Yeah, I sure did.
What do you think?
I think it looks very slick.
Yeah. I really like the idea of being able to share your stuff on the net. I like the idea of being able to work on the net. And I think what I really like, and why I think Apple's Sprout Core is so important, is I really like the idea of being able to avoid any operating, or not be independent of any operating system, or any, you know, this is open source. It's not Apple. It's not Flash. It's not owned by Adobe. It's not Silverlight. It's not owned by Microsoft. And I think it's really important as we go forward that no one company control what goes on the internet. And even more so, no one company control what's going on the desktop. It's very exciting. I think it's really
Yeah, it's really exciting. Yeah. I can't wait to check it out for sure.
So you have to ask him and make sure you can download your presentations locally, though. When have you ever been giving a presentation where you had reliable internet
That's
access?
A very good point. It wouldn't be any good if you couldn't download it. You're right.
I totally agree with you. That's I never do any type of live internet surfing when I'm doing presentations because it's bound to fail.
Here's a download button right here. That's, by the way, what's one of the things Sprout Core does. It gives you Google Gears type capability to run this stuff even if you're not online. So you've got kind of it's what they're calling now thick client, because a lot of the work is being done by your browser in JavaScript on your system. It's not being done on some remote server, and that's important because that really makes it seem more responsive. That's kind of what's happening in Ajax. Do you have some links for us before we get to Brian?
I always have links, and I know we have so many guests, but I do have a few quick links.
Great.
And I send them to you by email. Now, the first one, we have to talk about Firefox 3. So that's
it was down
important.
All morning.
I know. It was down all morning. And, you know, they've been trying to break a record with this version of Firefox, so they want a world record for the
Didn't
most downloads.
Didn't they know that would happen? That's crazy.
I don't know.
They said, we want to break a record. Everybody come to our site at 10 in the morning Pacific time. And, of course, everybody did.
I know. Exactly. I know. It's so sad. I haven't had a chance. Have you downloaded it yet, Leah?
Well, I have. I downloaded RC1 yesterday, which is, I think, the closest. I think it's probably the same. So I haven't downloaded the new one. But, you know, I'm a Flock fan. You know that, right?
No, I didn't know that.
I think you introduced me to Flock also. Flock
I didn't
is based
stuck
on
with it.
Yeah, well, Chris Messina, remember we met Mentera, we met? And they were both working at Flock. And it's basically Firefox with social networking capabilities kind of built in. So it already knows about Delicious and Flickr and Dig and YouTube and MySpace and Facebook. And it has all these nice features. You can blog directly from it. And they have a new version 2 beta 1 that is based on Firefox 3. So I started using Firefox 3, and they said, well, wait a minute, I can go back to Flock, because now they have a Firefox 3 version.
Interesting. Yeah, so they've been trying to break this download record. I'm actually going to a Firefox party tonight in Toronto, because they're having parties around the
world.
They
want to do it worldwide, yeah.
I know, but I haven't had a chance to download it. But a few things that they mentioned that are going to be great features in it are there's some offline capabilities. There's a cool zoom-in feature. They say that it also looks better on the Mac, so I'm interested.
It looks better
that.
Natively on everything. I mean, that's kind of the point, is that it's, you know, it suddenly kind of has a more native look on every platform. The site's up now. I mean, it was really dead in the water this morning, and I was talking to some people on our in our chat room at irc.dslextreme.com, Sargon specifically, who said he talked to some of the Firefox engineers, and it wasn't bandwidth. It wasn't a lot of people downloading it all at once. It was just more people hitting their servers than they thought, and the servers couldn't handle the traffic.
Wow. You know, it was so interesting because it was on the front page of BBC on their website this morning. So it's getting a ton of attention. I know. It's so funny because I remember when we had the Firefox, two of the Firefox guys on, Mike Shaver and the other
the Mike. The Mike and Mike, I remember.
When we had them on a while ago, and, you know, we were kind of talking about Firefox, how, you know, we got a little bit of attention from the geek crowd, but wasn't too popular. But now I think it's kind of coming into its own a little bit. They also say that it's supposed to have faster load time, so I'll be excited about
that. It is. It's much faster. I'm very impressed. I did not, as you know, like Firefox 2 at all. I thought it was horrible. And I think Firefox 3 has fixed everything that was wrong with Firefox 2 and then some, including a lot of the memory links. Leaks, I should say. So I think it's definitely a must-have download. And most of my extensions now finally are working. That was one of the problems I had with going to with the betas of Firefox 3. I couldn't run any of my extensions at all.
Oh, that's so annoying, especially when you find good extensions.
All right, Denise, Firefox, Safari, Internet Explorer, Opera, which is yours?
Firefox.
She's a Firefox one. Yep. Of course she is.
Nice.
Who isn't?
I know.
How could you not be?
I really am finding more and more now when I go to people's computers and I'm about to tell them to download Firefox and they're already using it. It's a nice surprise.
This is Mike Belzer's camera. This is in Toronto, Mozilla Toronto. And Shaver and Belzer are there. This is the party that's going on right now. Look
I'm
at
late.
It. This is your party that you're going to.
I'm a little late, Leo. That's okay, though.
This is air.mozilla.com. And it's via Mogulus. And if you go there, Amber, would you go over to the camera? There's a little fox by the camera. Go over there and wave at us, would you?
When I get there, I will. I promise you.
We'll watch it.
I'll send you a text and I'll let you know when I'm there. Because I'm going to go over straight after here. We're going to shoot some stuff for Command N.
I'll pull it up.
Okay.
That would really be fun. Isn't that funny? So there they are. They're really, what a thrill that is to watch that camera.
They couldn't do that for the first version of Firefox, could they now?
No, they couldn't.
A lot has changed.
That's pretty cool. So, is Toronto the it's not headquarters for Firefox by any means, is it? But I think there are a lot of Firefox people there.
It's not the headquarters of Firefox, but, and I could be wrong about this, but Mike Shaver and the other Mike, we always call them the two Mikes, they are some of the lead people on Firefox.
Right.
So they are here in Toronto, and so there's a big presence of people who do work for Mozilla who are in downtown Toronto. In fact, they just moved into a new office space right in the center of the city, so that's where the party's happening this evening.
It's so funny to watch a party cam. Is that the most pathetic thing ever, Denise? I'm just watching a party. Like, I can't be at the party, but I'm watching it.
Woohoo! It's kind of like everyone on Twit Live.
Oh, yeah, but this is different. This isn't a party. It's content.
That's right.
Yeah, this is good. This is good old content that you need to get through your week, hopefully.
Yeah. There's also a download counter. Let me see if it's still live. Yeah, it is. We'll show this here real quickly. This is the downloadcounter.sj.mozilla.com. And this is live updating, although right now it's frozen at 2,003,900 downloads. They're averaging 5,609 downloads a second. In a second or two, it'll refresh and it'll be the actual count, and we'll give you the actual count. But over 2 million downloads so far.
Is this Firefox 3 you're running right here?
It is Firefox 3.
Wow. It looks like Safari now.
Yeah, you see, because it's much more native. We're looking at it on a Mac, and it's a much more of a native Mac feel to it.
Yeah.
What, I'll tell you, the biggest thing, that the biggest improvement that they really need is the bookmark organizer. That was the worst bookmarks organizer ever.
Yeah.
Wasn't it terrible?
It was really buried in the actual application. That's what I found. I never actually used it because I found it so cumbersome to be able to add a link.
Well, and some of the things that you'd expect to do, like press delete to delete a bookmark, you couldn't do. So it was just like, come on, guys. That's not such a hard thing to do. So this is much better. They have a new bookmark, a series of smart bookmarks that are automatically in your bookmark toolbar of most visited sites. So it keeps track of the stuff you've seen the most. Thank goodness it's not pornography, because Denise is sitting right here looking over my shoulder.
You can tell me later, Denise.
Hey, you guys read that Google Browser Sync is no longer going to be supported, or longer going to support Firefox.
Good news. I've got a replacement for you.
What is that?
FOXMARKS.com, Foxmarks. You know, I use that Browser Sync all the time. You want to have all your browsers across the all the computers that you use have the same bookmarks. This is better than Google Browser. Google Browser Sync was always going down. Mm-hmm. It would be annoying. You'd have to log in. This, they emphasize it, is seamless. You don't even see it running, and it automatically backs up all my bookmarks to a centralized server. It's free, and then synchronizes it with all my copies of Firefox and Flock, by the way, it works with. So foxmarks.com, and it works with Firefox 3. Highly recommended.
Great. Ooh, I got to try that one.
Yeah, this is a
Leo,
great one.
I'm thinking we have a few more links, and one of is the song of the week, of course. We have another fun song, but I'm wondering if we should get Brian on the line, just because if you see him there, just because we told him we'd call about now.
Yeah, and I don't want to keep him waiting, and he's probably got other things that he wants to do in the world. Let me see if maybe he isn't. I can't. I have too many people now in my. let me call him and see if we can add him to the mix here.
All right, sounds good.
See if he'll answer. But while we're calling him, do you want to talk about the AP? Denise and I were there. Is Brian? Hey, Brian, how you doing? Oh,
good. How are you?
It's Mr. Coverville.
That's right.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, Amber. How are you? It's nice to get to talk to you.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you.
This came up, Brian, because we were talking last week about covers and how much Amber liked them. She said,
"Yes,
do people do
of a Dancing Queen, right?"
Yeah, I rickrolled her with Dancing.
Oh, please don't bring up Dancing Queen again. He's going to play it for the rest of the show. But, Brian, I thought we were friends.
No, my lawyer here says I can't play it anymore. Once is enough.
That's right. ASCAP will get on you.
How do you get away with doing all the covers? How does that work out? Do you pay an ASCAP license fee, Brian?
I do. I actually pay pay money to ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC every year.
Wow.
And that takes care of all the independent artists. Well, actually, that takes care of all of the licensing fees for the songwriters. But as far as the rest of it, I need to get permission from the independent artists that I play.
Do you only play independents, or do you also play signed artists?
I play everything. but I get permission from the independent artists. Actually, I'll stay away from anything that's been released. Anything brand new that's released that I don't have permission for, because I don't want to cannibalize any sales. But if it's something that is not on one of the major three labels, then I jump right out. I talk to the independent artist, and I can usually get them to approve it right away. But if it's one of the big three, I either don't play it, or I try to play something less familiar from one of those labels.
Amber was saying how she loves covers. Everybody loves covers, don't they? What's
they
a cover? Explain what a cover is for people who don't know.
Sure, sure. A cover is a song that you recognize the lyrics of, but it's performed by a different artist. Basically, it was a way, in the old days, it was a way to cover the market. You'd get a song recorded by a black performer, and then you'd have a song recorded by a white performer to cover the market, basically, because there was segregation in music. These days, it's a way for a band to pay homage to some of their influences, to record some of the songs that were influential to their growth.
And Brian, Coverville has been around for a while. Tell us a little bit about how you got started and why.
Sure. I have always been a big fan of the radio. I mean, I think radio back in the 70s and 80s, when I was listening to it a lot, it seemed really glamorous. I mean, everybody visualizes the WKRP environment for radio. And so I always wanted to be a DJ, took a different turn, went into customer support and computers and Macintosh and that sort of thing. And so it wasn't until I heard Adam Curry doing his stuff on Daily Source Code that I said, you know what, I could probably use this to do the radio show that I've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
And so I plugged a little microphone into my 12-inch G4 laptop and started recording. Just jumped right into it with both feet.
Was Coverville one of the, I think it was one of the first 10 podcasts.
You know, I don't know. It was close to it. I mean, I think Don and Drew and
What month did you start? In 2005. What month?
September 2004, actually.
Four,
September 20th, 2004.
Wow, 2004.
So my first podcast was October 2004. So, and
no,
I think,
wait, I beat you?
Yeah, you beat me, but just by a month. So,
wow,
no, we're talking to an old-timer, one of the first podcasters.
That's right, Sonny.
You still call it a podcast or what? You call it a Mevio?
That's right. I tried to call it a netcast for a while, but that didn't take.
I'm not giving up.
No. So for people who haven't had a chance to listen to the podcast, what would they expect from Coverville?
I produce it three times a week and present about six songs per show, sometimes more, sometimes less, but usually right around six songs. And on certain nights, I do a theme to it. For example, Sunday nights is an all-request show, so people email me. And I get, you know, 10 to 20 emails a day from people who have specific songs they want to see if I can find a cover of, or ones that they remember from their childhood that they want to find. And so Sundays are all request. Tuesdays is kind of a hodgepodge theme where it could be all songs related to a certain movie, or all songs that came out a certain year, or
that's
six degrees of coveration, where I play a song by an artist and then I try and play a song that covers the first artist, and then I play another song that covers the second artist.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and try and make
wow.
a chain of covers like that. And then Thursdays are the most popular, which is the cover story, where I pick a performer and then play several different covers of or by that performer.
And is there one cover that has been kind of the most popular cover out of all of the shows that you've done?
Absolutely. Yeah. Every year at the end of the year, I do a Casey Kasem style countdown where I have people nominate and then vote for their favorite cover songs of all time. And for the last few years, Nine Inch Nails Hurt, covered by Johnny Cash, has been in the top five. Jonathan Coulton's cover of Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back has also been in there. William Shatner's cover of Pulp's Common People is usually up there. Those are the big popular ones.
Wow. Yeah. And do you find that anything has kind of changed with the covers that people are doing, as far as, you know, are there more independent covers that are getting more popular online, or what's kind of the evolution of the cover space?
You know, it's absolutely becoming more of an independent artist market, which is great for me, for what I'm doing, just because of the legalities of everything. And it's great for the artists too, because it gets them exposure, and the playing field is becoming so level these days, both with covers and outside of covers, for independent artists to make as big an impact on the market as regular, corporate musicians. I don't know if you want to call them corporate musicians, but the guys on the big labels. So it's a perfect time if you want to be an independent artist to kind of get your music out there and heard with things like YouTube and podcasting. I'm sorry, netcasting.
You can call it anything you want. Cover casting. I like that.
Cover casting. That's good.
So the reason this came up is because we were playing Dancing Queen, and I said the best version of Dancing Queen, the version that made me love Dancing Queen, was Richard Thompson's acoustic version of it. But I don't know if he ever recorded it. I heard it on Fresh Air, I think, on NPR.
I don't think he ever did record it. Now, he did do a cover of Money, Money, Money and recorded a version of that,
right.
Another ABBA song. But
maybe I can find that. He does that, you know, 1,000 Years of Popular Music, which is all covers,
yes.
And it's great.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, everything from Squeeze's Tempted, and that's actually where that Money, Money, Money cover came from. But he also has a great cover of Britney Spears' Oops, I Did It Again on
I've
there.
I've heard that.
Oh, that's
and
great.
Totally reinvents the song. I mean, it absolutely reinvents the song.
I think that's his point, is that popular music is better than you think.
Yes.
Yeah. And even Oops, I Did It Again. You know who's doing a lot of covers that I love is Jonathan Colton.
Oh, yeah.
He's done some wonderful ones.
He is. And can I throw in a quick plug for the concert?
Yeah, that's exactly why you're on. We're all going to be at Podcast Expo, which is in Vegas, August 14th, 15th, and 16th, right?
That's right, yep. And I've been given the task, and not really given the task, I volunteered for the task of putting together the big after-hours event, one of the big after-hours events this year, which is going to be the Coverville 500 concert. I'm kind of throwing my name on there because it'll actually time just right with the 500th episode of Coverville.
All right.
Nice.
And so I've got, sorry to interrupt, I've got Jonathan Colton, Richard Cheese, Chance and the Choir, Natalie Gelman, The Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd, and Dan Klass from The Bitterest Pill, all putting on a show.
Fun. Well, we'll be
That'll
there.
Be lots of fun. Oh, yes, we'll definitely be there. One thing that I wanted to ask you is there like a whole community of people who are cover geeks, just like there would be Mac geeks? I'm so curious about this.
I guarantee you there is.
There absolutely is, yes. There's a bunch of cover bloggers. I'm the only podcaster that actually does kind of a dedicated podcast to it, but there's a bunch of cover bloggers out there. And for the 450th episode of Coverville, I actually did a roundtable discussion where I got all of them on via Skype, and we talked about what defines a good cover and what everybody's, you know, favorite cover songs were, what things they look for when they're looking for a cover, what things can really take away from a cover. And so it's actually, of all the shows I've done, this is the only one, the 450th was the only one where I didn't play a lot of music. It was all talk and discussion about cover songs. And it was fascinating. I mean, it really was interesting to hear everybody's perspective on cover songs versus tributes versus remakes, right. Things like that. And a lot of fun.
Well, we'll see you in Vegas. I'm excited about this. This is going to be a lot of fun.
I can't wait.
Yeah. And let me go ahead.
I was just going to say, are you like the chief cover geek, just like Leo's like the chief twit?
He's the chief. He's the guy.
I'm the chief cover geek. I don't know if I can wear that mantle, if I can bestow that upon myself, but.
I think you can.
Okay. In that case, I'll do it. My license plate even says cover me.
Does it?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, that's great. Coverville.com is a place to go. And Brian Ibbett's still doing it, not on his old G4 with the headset, I hope.
No, now I've got a MacBook Pro and a nice phonic mixer and a beautiful microphone from Shure.
There you go. That's great.
Very nice.
Thank you, Brian. Let me play this song. I got to play it. You made me do it. Oops, I did it again. Thank you, Brian Ibbett.
Thank you.
I play with your heart. Got lost in the game. Ooh, baby, baby. Oops, you think I'm in love. I'm sent from above. I'm not that innocent.
Isn't he funny?
Wow, it's good.
Well, that's what's funny about it is he brings these songs back. He rejuvenates them somehow. And even a bad song like that, it sounds pretty good in Richard Thompson's hands. That's Richard Thompson. Song. It's from 1,000 years of popular music. And that is a great CD to buy. I highly encourage people to buy it. It's really full of good stuff from the troubadours up to modern times.
I'm going to have to send you my son Tyler's cover of Jonathan Colton's Shop Vac.
He does Shop Vac?
He does Shop Vac, yes.
Get in here. He should do it now for us. Will he sing it for us now?
I don't know. He hasn't sang it in a while.
You have to play the. He has to play the music for him
for
him to dance around and sing it.
Exactly.
Oh, that's so cute.
I captured him on the cell phone once, and it was pretty funny.
Does he like Jonathan Colton?
Mm-hmm.
Who wouldn't like Jonathan Colton?
I know. He's wonderful. Oh, did you see him on The Daily Show last week?
I heard he was on. Was he great?
Oh, it was hilarious because John Hodgman was out and he was talking to Jon Stewart. And then all of a sudden, Jonathan Colton came out in the background and he was literally just strumming away and his guitar didn't say anything. It was just playing backup for the whole little skit. And then he walked away and I was like, oh my God, it's Jonathan Colton. It's Jonathan Colton. Well, and it was like the best geek moment ever.
You know, he and Hodgman are neighbors.
Oh, I'm jealous.
And very good friends. In fact, he performs on Hodgman's book on tape, the audible book version of My Areas of Expertise.
Okay.
Jonathan Colton sings a song about the furry old rock lobster or whatever
goodness.
It is. Have
oh,
you heard? Have
so
you
read?
You know what? That should be I'm going to do our Audible ad right now.
Yeah, let's do it.
Audible.com/night. I want you to go there because you get a free book Denise does the Audible ads too, right? Mm-hmm. You love Audible. I know Denise is
love
a big...
Love Audible.
Audible's the greatest thing. And I'm going to do areas of my expertise. It's John Hodgman's... I'll see if I can find a little bit of it. I'll tell you what I could do is I could play the song from it. The nice thing about the Audible.com version is it's a little different from the printed version. And it's more produced. You can hear Jonathan Colton sing. You know, Jonathan Colton actually comes in there and he interviews him. And you know, somebody pointed out that, yes, every one of the hobo names, there's a whole chapter of hobo names. It's like hundreds of hobo names. Every one of them read by John Hodgman in the audiobook.
Wow.
So you don't miss a thing. Let me play. You haven't heard it? Oh, you got to get it. You got to get it. This is it. The song is called something like the Furry Old Rock Lobster or the Furry Old Lobster. It's Jonathan Colton. He wrote this, and it's in the book. It's the true story of the original lobster, which looked completely different.
When I was a young boy, I'd follow the path down past the dunes to the sea. There on the warm sandy beaches we'd lie, the furry old lobsters and me.
See, because they were more like
they'd whistle and squeal as they ran through the waves.
Like
so
otters.
Sleek, so furry and fair.
The original lobsters.
Now when I go down to see my old friends, the beaches are empty and bare.
And then they got chased out.
Hey, hidey-ho, where the old lobster go, and his body's so furry and brown. Sing ho, hidey-hey, have they all gone away, for we haven't seen many around.
So that's a little excerpt from The Furry Old Lobster, which is a part of Jonathan Hodgman's Areas of My Expertise, perhaps the funniest book you'll ever listen to. If you go to audible.com/night, you sign up today and get your free book, and that would be a great one. Have you read that book, Amber, even?
No, but I have to say that the song that you just played sounds like the anthem for Prince Edward Island, because it's like lobster country, so it's a very East Coast type music.
Yeah, you got it. Have you read the book, Denise?
I have not. I will now.
Okay, well, we now know. We've got our next Audible listen for both of you guys. Yeah. It's so great. Jonathan Hodgman, The Areas of My Expertise. It's his attempt at a complete almanac of all human knowledge, but apparently he's much more limited than we thought. It's really a funny book. Go to audible.com/night and subscribe today. Hey, let's check real quickly the downloads from Firefox. I've got the page live. I don't know if you can see that. 2,889,177. Yeah, Denise Howell's going to, as we're watching that countdown, Denise Howell's going to run out and get her son and her dad because she's visiting, and I want to see them for Father's Day. Did you do something for Father's Day, Amber?
You know, I didn't get a chance to see my dad, but I called him twice that day and had two really good long chats. So he was working on Sunday like a typical MacArthur, and I had a chance to talk to him. But I'm going to go to PEI at the end of June, so I'll have a chance to actually give him a big Father's Day hug in person.
What was the number that they needed to reach to get the record? Do you know?
I don't know. Let me look that up right now.
Because they're well over 2 million here.
Yeah, that's a great question.
They're going for getting the Guinness Book of World Records for the most downloads in a day. And, you know, it must have been tough for them at first because it was 10 in the morning. Come on in. Come on in. It was 10 in the morning when they went live Pacific time, and they were down almost immediately. And so that must have made them crazy. Hey, do you want to... go ahead.
I also read on TechCrunch that they started a little bit late in the day, so they didn't...
Well, they fooled everybody. Everybody, you know, last time, remember, they had midnight parties, and they did it at midnight.
Yeah.
And this time it was 10 a.m. Pacific time, which made no sense at all.
I know. It makes no sense. So I'm just going through an article.
You're sitting on your mic, Denise. So don't sit on your mic, because then...
No, it's next to me.
It's next to you, because we want to be able to hear you and say hi.
Okay, hold on.
So Denise has brought her son in. I'm going to... Turn the camera on. Oh, aren't you a sweetie? What's your name?
There's the camera. Wave to the camera.
Oh, he sees himself now.
Yeah. We were talking about how you like to sing Shop Vac.
Can you sing Shop Vac for us? He's too busy making faces at himself. How you doing? You having fun with Grandpa?
Having a good Leo time? And Amber?
Hi.
Another toehead. I got too many blondes in this room. I can't.
You can't think straight.
I can't think straight.
You just think it's so fun to be on TV, don't you?
We'll leave the camera on him. You never know what kids... Oh, wait a minute. It's over here now. Yeah. It's over here.
Now it's over
the camera
there.
Changed. It's up there now.
It's like magic.
Oh, wait a minute. It changed over... Now it's over there. Oh, no. Now it's over there. Oh, wait a minute. Now it's over there. Fun with the TriCaster.
Yes.
Every home should have its own video switcher, don't you think?
There you go.
There you go. That's his version of Shop Vac. Huh?
I think he agrees. He needs a switcher. So funny.
So we're off on up the road here, I think. But thank you so much for having us.
So nice to see you, Denise. Thank you so much for coming.
Nice to meet you, Denise.
Nice to meet you too, Amber. Hope to chat again soon.
Definitely.
All right.
Okay, you guys have a great rest of the show.
He's been on before. He's been on Twit, so we know him very well. He's a regular. Thanks, Denise. So nice to see you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you later.
My dad knows.
See you, Mel. Bye-bye. Nice to meet you. Take care. See you, sir. You are on TV. This is live. It's better than TV. 2,473 people just saw you. So we're going to talk just a little bit to Francisco. Actually, he's on the line right now. Hello, Francisco.
Hello.
Hey, thanks for calling in. You're probably wondering what all this chaos is.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. I was just listening to you guys on iTunes, and then I called in. It was like the show again. I was kind of confused for a second.
It is the show again, only this time you're on it.
There you go.
Hello.
Hello.
So, Francisco, I was blown away when I first saw 280 Slides. I just couldn't believe what a good job you guys had done of making what looked like a desktop application on the web.
Yeah, I mean, thanks. We really appreciate it. We've been plugging away at it for about 5 months now, and that's kind of the reaction we wanted. So, yeah, again, we're really happy that we've had such a positive response so far.
Your timing is pretty good. The idea was to, right now, I guess, everybody's doing it from Microsoft to Adobe to now Apple, putting these rich internet applications online. And they're just mind-blowingly good. Can you tell us, is it all Ajax? How did you do it?
So what we actually did, there's three of us, and myself and Ross are actually former Apple employees. And what we actually did was basically take, I don't know if you're familiar with Coco.
Yeah, of course.
So we basically took all of Coco, you know, core animation, core graphics, AppKit, you name it, and completely re-implemented it using JavaScript.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so I mean, we actually started this before we went to work at Apple back in college around 2 years ago. It was kind of our senior project. And the cool thing is you could actually take 280 Slides and recompile it, and it would just be a Mac app because it's like exactly the same code.
Well, you must be very interested then to hear about Sprout Core, Apple's announcements Friday at WWDC.
Yeah, I mean, I actually know the Sprout Core guy, and I mean, Sprout Core has actually been in use. It's in use right now in the current web gallery. I mean, it's been in use in .Mac for a while now. They're great guys and they're doing great work.
Do you feel like that he's kind of duplicated what you did? I mean, it sounds very similar. His whole idea is to do the model view controller model, the thing that makes Coco work and modern web frameworks like Rails work on a web application. That's kind of sounds like what you were doing. I mean, he's that's why Apple's going to do Sprout Core. They're going to put Coco on the web, in effect.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're similar ideas. I would say that the difference, though, is that Sprout Core is kind of like Coco inspired, as in, you know, it'll be much more familiar to current JavaScript programmers.
It's JavaScript, pure.
Right, yeah. Right, and it borrows ideas from, you know, Coco. Whereas what we did is actually, from the very beginning, what we said is, you know, we're Coco programmers. You know, people have been making Coco apps for 20 years, ever since Next Step, right? They basically got their act together. We shouldn't try to reinvent the wheel. We're going to take exactly Coco and put it exactly on the web, and that's kind of what we did. I mean, for example, like all our fancy graphics that we do in 280 Slides, you know, all that vector work, that's all because we use core graphics and core animation, just like, you know, people are using in Leopard today.
So this is tied to Apple? Do you have to run it on Apple?
Oh, no, absolutely not. We basically took those technologies and just made them work on the web instead of on the desktop.
Interesting. One thing I was just reading was that you did a presentation earlier this spring. I saw this on TechCrunch, where you talked about two reasons why 280 Slides would actually take off, whereas other browser-based PowerPoint clones had failed. Could you talk a little bit about why you think that 280 Slides is a lot better than the other options or competition that's come out online?
Sure. I mean, one of the big things that we saw happen was that things like Google Docs have some really great web features, right? Like collaboration is really awesome in Google Docs. And, you know, obviously it runs in every browser, et cetera. But as it stands right now, people kind of feel like there's kind of a trade-off with applications online. It's kind of like you get the really cool web features, but you got to kind of say no to the really cool desktop features, right?
Right.
So what we really wanted to do is kind of bridge that gap first. We said the very first thing that's going to be necessary for people to finally make that jump to the web and say, oh, I'll actually do this as opposed to, oh, cute project, is they have to feel like their home environment. So it has to feel like the desktop. And then kind of from there, start building these web features, right?
Well, I'll give you an example. You know, you have a font menu, and normally on a web application, it's, you know, the standard web fonts and nothing more. In this case, the font menu has all the desktop fonts.
Right. So, and right, another thing like we thought was really important is you can do undo and redo right from the keyboard. You can do copy-paste of, like, entire slides, everything straight from the keyboard, that sort of thing. So all those kind of little details that we call them, like, the big little things that you kind of take for granted and say, oh, it's not that important. But, you know, when they start stacking up, you're like, I kind of miss all that. I kind of miss being able to copy an entire slide and undo and all that sort of thing.
Right.
So let's say for someone like myself, I do a lot of keynote presentations. A lot of presentations on, it's keynote. Sorry, for some reason I just blanked on that.
You don't want to say PowerPoint. That's the bad word.
I know. The reason I was thinking I do a lot of keynotes using Keynote, and it seemed like that just couldn't be possible, but it is. would this be something where you could see someone who is a keynote user really dropping that and going completely to 280slides.com?
I am, in fact, a former Apple employee, so I will say that I still think Keynote is the best way to make presentations, obviously. But I think it depends on what kind of presentation. I mean, if you want to have really fancy 3D effects and stuff, it's not there yet on the web. I think it will be soon, but not yet. But I think for your typical kind of college student who wants to put together a presentation about biology or that sort of thing, I think we might actually be better because, you know, we're free. You just go to the website. You can throw it together really quickly.
You don't even have to sign up for anything. You can just do it without signing up.
Right. That was actually a pet peeve of ours. We're really angry every time we want to use a website and I have to tell them my zip code and all sorts of things. So you can actually make your entire presentation and download it without signing up. The only time you actually have to sign up is if you want to save it on our servers.
So when you say download, and this is what Denise wanted me to ask you, you can download it and it'll run standalone without being online?
So the download actually downloads to the latest PowerPoint format. And in a couple of weeks, we're actually going to support some more formats like the old PowerPoint and PDF and that sort of thing. So Microsoft actually gives away for free a PowerPoint viewer. So if you go to our website, make your presentation and download the file, you can actually present it using, you know, the standard office stuff for free. And it'll, you know, no one in the conference room will have to know that you use some sort of crazy web software or anything.
That's great. And you also offer the option to pick from multiple themes. How many themes are there available?
I think right now we have 9 or 12. I can't remember precisely. But, you know, it's a beta and a lot of them are going to go and we're going to add some new ones and stuff. So.
It's simple right now, and there's not, for instance, all those fancy keynote transitions aren't in there. Is that
right.
A limitation of the platform, or is that something you could do given enough time?
I think you're going to start seeing a lot of that once we hit actual 1.0. Unfortunately, it was more a limitation of, you know, we got to get this out there.
Right.
You know, let's get people using it soon, as opposed to it's not possible, right?
Let me get a little geeky with you, because I think that developers are going to be interested in this. So you said it's Coco. Are you working in Objective-C? Or are you working in JavaScript?
People kind of, we didn't expect this to go public yet, but people kind of figured it out on their own. But it is actually Objective, we call it Objective-J. It's basically Objective-C, and we kind of, you know, auto-magically convert it into JavaScript on the fly for you.
And so, this is the promise of Sprout Core somewhat, too, is that you use these libraries, so you're not... Nobody wants to write JavaScript, I guess.
I guess that's the difference, right? Sprout Core is actually not doing that. They're saying you should use JavaScript
right.
and CSS and HTML, and we're going to take a few ideas from Coco, whereas we're actually saying, no, you should be writing in Coco. Let us convert it for you on the fly.
Are you a little hurt that Apple didn't come to you instead of Sprout Core?
I mean, the truth is we weren't public until a week ago, so they would have had to somehow know about us without us saying anything, right? No, I'm not, of course not. I mean, Apple uses a lot of web technologies. They use Prototype and Dojo throughout, you know, Apple.com and stuff, and it's not that they've, like, put their weight behind it or anything. You know, they're making the best use of it out there now.
Right.
And, you know, we just came out, and, yeah, I mean, of course, we'd like them to use us in the future just in the same way we'd like anyone to use us in the future. But
well, what they are doing, and I think this is really important, is they're avoiding Flash, Silverlight, these proprietary technologies, and instead trying to use things like Scriptaculous and Prototype that are open source technologies. Are you planning to make this stuff open source?
Yes. Right now we're just seeding it to a couple kind of key developers because we basically want to get it up to snuff before we kind of release it into the wild. But we are going to release both Objective-J and, you know, the we call the framework Cappuccino. It's kind of like Java plus Cocoa.
I like it.
I'm informed by coffee drinkers that that's actually a mocha.
Yeah, I was going to say, you should have called it mocha.
That's okay.
Well, you don't drink coffee, Francisco? What kind of programmer are you?
Yeah.
I drink a lot of Mountain Dew, though, so that
All
right, you get your
more caffeine.
Yeah,
right.
You get your caffeine.
But yes, both of them will be completely open source, and what we're really looking forward to is the idea that existing Cocoa apps will really easily translate to the web because, as I said, it's exactly the same technology, so people will kind of just be able to take, like, really awesome apps that already exist on the Mac and kind of start being able to give them to anyone.
Do you plan to create tools like App Builder to make it easier to design the UI, things like that?
I mean, we're not really commenting a lot about that yet, but I will say that we have a lot of internal tools that make things like that a lot easier right now. So
really, this
stuff like that.
280 slides, as useful and cool and wonderful as it is just the tip of the iceberg. What you're really doing is developing a platform for people to write rich web applications in a way that they're already used to if they're Mac developers. And this is just an example.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I mean, what we found very early in the process is that, you know, great frameworks need great applications, and great applications need great frameworks. I think it's really hard to develop something in an island, like, oh, I'm going to build a way for people to make apps if you're not making applications yourself. So I think in the future, we're always going to be making things like 280 slides and that sort of thing, as well as making the platform, because I think they're just so intrinsically tied. And I think that's why Apple does such a great job, because Apple's actually one of the few companies that does do both, right? I mean, sure, Microsoft makes .NET and Office, but they don't use a lot of their own technologies. But Apple's always pushing their own technologies with things like Final Cut Pro, iWork. They always use the latest and greatest that they make, and that's why it always works so well.
Interesting. I just have one last question, because the name 280 North, which is the name of the company, I'm pretty sure I know what it means, but for people out there who have no idea, where does that come from?
So it's a freeway that we live right off of. It connects basically, San Jose to San Francisco.
Cupertino to San Francisco.
Right, and it's actually the freeway that my co-founder and I used to take to work to Apple every day, so it kind of just seemed to fit.
It's also one of the most beautiful freeways in the world.
It's beautiful. Absolutely. And it's a great name.
It is.
It's a great name, for especially for people these days who are having trouble finding domain names because they're all taken. The idea of putting numbers into it, I think, is the next wave of trends.
Yeah. I mean, we were really happy to be able to get 280m.com and stuff.
Have you heard from Apple at all in the last week?
No. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people there just because, you know, I used to work there and stuff, but I guess nothing official.
Boy, if I were Steve Jobs, I'd be on the phone to you pretty darn quick. It's amazing what you've been able to accomplish, really.
Thank you. Again, I really appreciate it. Yeah. I especially respect your guys' opinions. I mean, like I told you in my email, I used to watch you on TV all the time, so it feels really good.
I'm such an old guy now, Amber, that the people who grew up watching me are now making big waves in the tech community. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm very flattered that you did, Francisco. I'm just really impressed as heck. So you guys are out of school now, huh?
Yeah, we basically got hired at Apple right out of school. So we all went to USC and then straight to Apple.
That's great. And now you're working on your own.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Y Combinator.
Yeah, are you a Y Combinator company?
I guess we were. Our session just ended like 2 months ago, but that was kind of the final kick in the pants to, you know, go in and quit and do it full time. So
Paul Graham does that, and it's really impressive. what they've been able to do. And I like the model of it because it's really for young guys like you. It's not about a lot of money. It's about getting your thing done, getting it out there,
right,
and giving you the support you need to do that.
Yeah, I mean, the best part about it is, like, he handles, or he and his group handles, like, all the legal stuff, like incorporating and stuff for you, and you can just kind of get to coding and get, you know, he has this motto, you know, make something people want, and
yep,
he thinks that you should just focus on that and not any of the other stuff.
Well, everything I've seen come out of Y Combinator has been darn impressive, and this is absolutely mind-blowing technology. Everybody should go to 280slides.com. and play with it. I mean, I'll send my kid here to do her, you know, there's no reason to buy Keynote or PowerPoint. I mean, it's just great. And then if you sign up, you can store stuff there. You can share too, right, with other people.
Right. You can make your documents public, and then you can either embed it in your blog or send people a direct link to it or whatever.
So I'm going to start doing stuff like that in my blog. I mean, what a great way to kind of enrich a blog is to put, because it's all Ajax or whatever. It's all JavaScript. It works in any browser, right?
Absolutely.
Firefox 3, a good browser for you for this?
Firefox 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly gotten a lot faster in Firefox 2. I mean, it was already great in Firefox 2, and it works even better in Firefox 3.
Works better in WebKit?
I mean, I'm kind of biased since, you know, I am from Apple, and I used to be on a team that did a lot of web stuff. So I personally feel that, yes, it works better in WebKit.
The new WebKit JavaScript interpreter is supposed to be really, really, really fast. So.
Yeah, they've done an absolutely tremendous job. I mean, right before I left, they kind of outlined that they were going to be doing, you know, every month, like this much faster, this much faster, this much faster. And I was kind of like, there's no way. And they've just done it. It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as you're downloading Firefox, folks, you might want to go to webkit.org and if you're a Mac user, download I guess there's Windows and Linux, actually. Download the latest WebKit. It's pretty mind-blowing. Francisco,
thank you. Thank you so
much.
Really great to talk to you.
It's great to talk to you, too. Keep up the great netcast.
All right, same to you. My goodness. And if you ever want to come up to Petaluma and join us in the studio and get really geeky and show us some of the programming techniques and frameworks and stuff, we'd love to see them.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay, good.
I'll send you an email.
Good, it's a deal. I'd love to see you.
Right.
Yeah, take care, Francisco. This is, to me, Amber, the most exciting area right now. And I was really blown away when I saw what Apple's going to do with Sprout Core. What Apple's come up with is an interesting strategy to essentially completely end around Adobe with Flash, Microsoft with Silverlight. It's not about the operating system anymore. It's not about desktop applications anymore. It's about doing it on the net. And these rich applications on the net are absolute proof that you can make stuff that runs on a web browser that's every bit as good as a desktop application. It's very exciting.
I know. I need to check it out. I need to play around with it a little bit just to see how it works, but it seems very cool. Hey, Leo, I have a question for you.
Yes, my dear.
Would you make fun of me if I were smiling for the past hour and I was never on the actual camera on the site?
No, it's my fault, and I felt bad.
No, it doesn't matter. I think that it's actually just hilarious because someone wrote me an email, and I was like, oh, my God. I've been, like, sitting with perfect posture for almost an hour, and I think it's just kind of hilarious.
Well, you're just doing it in solidarity with me, okay?
I am. It's all good. I'm just teasing.
The reason is, as soon as we get a second person on Skype, this is something I have to figure. I actually want to try a new program. I'll tell you about that in a second. But as soon as you get a second person on Skype, you can't have video from either one of them. So to that end, we're looking at a new program, and I'd like to try this with you next week, called OOVOO, O-O-V-O-O.
Oh, okay. I heard you mention that, I think, on Twitter at some point.
Yeah. So it's a Skype kind of clone, but it allows you to have up to six people. It's kind of like the iChat thing, but it actually works. Up to six people video at once. So we could use OOVOO and get our guests on and not lose you, and that's what I'd really like to do.
Yeah, no, that's fun. I'm just bugging you. So, Leo, I have just a couple other links to mention
Before
we wrap up the show, because we did have a couple of gets. I'm just going to jump down to the bottom of my link list. The first one I wanted to mention is from Pauly Wood. If you remember Pauly Wood, he's the artist who's written some songs, including, I think, a song he wrote about me at one point.
You know, I'm going to play that if you start mentioning it.
So. Oh, no, sorry. Okay, you don't have to play it, but I will mention he sent an email, and he wanted us to check out a site called Wordle.net. Now, this is a little word cloud generator, And he thought it was kind of cool because you could just copy text and then paste it into the word cloud generator and then mix up how you want the words in that excerpt to appear. So it's kind of a fun little tool. It's just launched, so they need to do a lot more things like allow you to embed it, but a fun little tool. So.
Well, we know you like word clouds.
Yeah, I do. I actually once got a T-shirt, if you remember, on Call for Help, where
I still have it.
I got a whole tag cloud of our different websites. So that was a fun.
What's nice
fun
is
website.
They give you the URL, the HTML to post into your site, so that you can, add it to your page, blog it, or save it to Delicious. That's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
They have all different styles. wordle.net.
Wordle. It's just a good name anyway. And then the last link I wanted to mention was for our song of the week, which is also lots of fun. We mentioned the Flowbots, the Handlebar song last week, which we all love.
Yeah.
This week, someone named Aaron sent us in a link to a song called Particularly Nerd Girl. So, or maybe it's just called Nerd Girl. And this is a YouTube song by an artist. His name is MC Chris.
Should we play it as we go out, or?
Oh yeah, we could do that because we already did the
Audible spot for a change. I got that done. We got more. I got so many links. Before we play that, let's just real quickly take a look and see how Firefox is doing. We've been giving you the download counts. You're about to go to a party. They are going so fast. It's 5,000 downloads a minute now. They are at 2,182,290 downloads, most of them from the U.S., Germany second, Great Britain third, then France, then Canada with 92,843, China, and I don't know what, I see Japan, Turkey it looks like, I can't tell what these other two countries are, but they're really, that number's ticking over fast. That looks like my gas meter at the gas station when I'm filling up the tank.
Yes, I would totally agree with you. And just to follow up on something you asked earlier about how many downloads they need to get to break the record, I found on one website at the WashingtonPost.com, they said that Firefox is hoping to get to 5 million downloads. They don't have exact numbers of what exact record they'll be breaking, but that's what their expectation is, to get to 5 million.
Well, considering it's now 8 p.m. on the East Coast and only 5 p.m. Pacific time, and I think a lot of the downloading is going to happen in the evening, I think it's very possible they... And it only started about 7 hours ago. I think it's very possible with 7 hours left, they might well do that.
They might make it.
They're almost halfway there as it is, and I think you're going to see it step up now that you can actually get online. So everybody go to spreadfirefox.com or download, I think, getfirefox.com and download your copy of a Firefox 3. And while you're at it, you might want WebKit. We've given you a few assignments here. Go out and get WebKit. Go out and get Flock. And it's hard. I don't use just one browser anymore. There's just too many choices.
You jump back. I know. You know what's funny? This has been one of those episodes of Net at Night where I have a clipboard beside me and I've been writing down stuff the whole show that I need to download or listen to, like the area of my expertise from John Hodgman, foxmarks.com. So the good news is that I think Dane puts all these links up on twit.tv under the Net at Night section on the site. So
thank you, Dane. You go, girl. And by the way, that's Brazil with 88,746 downloads there. So, of course, it's Brazil. Who else would it be? Brazil's number five on the list right after Canada. Or number six on the list, anyway. So, thank you, Amber MacArthur. I'm going to play your song now.
All right.
This is Nerd Girl. We're going to dedicate this to... This one's going out to the nerd girl we call Amber MacArthur.
Thanks, Lisa.
Have a great night, Amber. We'll see you next time on Net at Night.
There's a special kind of girl that goes to my shows, and I don't mean the goopy hoes all along the front row. She's more like a wallflower, like the one that's like a snipe. I'm a luxer when I'm with her, cause I think I like a type. She might seem shy in person, it's a lie, she's always nervous, but the verdict is she's worth it. She get crap, but don't deserve it. She look like Emily Strange, always raving about her face. Wanna conquer her like Kang when he kissed on Cassie Lang. There's no way I can pronounce Neo-Geo-Evangelion, and I can't refute cause she's so cute, and so I suck my belly. And like 23 and Ellie, and a couple to be kind. She's in my heart and in my mind, and now she's in Mirage. She's wordy and verbose, prolific and prone to prose. Always sticking at the cold stuff, but she got a bow. I got many cold remedies, many old enemies. I got a girl that kicked her ass like River from Serenity. Nerd girl, I don't deserve you. I don't get the references.